it's time for you to be a part of the show. Email or call with questions for Dr. Mike now. Email askdrmikesmith@radiomd.com or call 877-711-5211. What are you waiting for? The doctor is in.
I questioned whether or not I should answer this question on air. It's about Dr. Oz, because I want to answer the questions that are more about health and, you know, trying to help people right now. But I think it's worth mentioning a couple little things here about what everything that Dr. Oz recently went through. So there was ultimately a letter was written, signed by like 10 doctors, asking Columbia University to remove him from his position at the university, and they made some claims about it, whatever. And the biggest complaint was, believe it or not, about GMOs. Dr. Oz has come out against GMOs. He doesn't like them. He thinks at least there should be fair labeling, and I agree with him. I agree with all that. But these doctors didn't like that. Turns out these doctors that wrote the letter had connections to Monsanto, who does a lot of the GMO stuff. So there's a lot of biasness here going back and forth. But the question, so that's all that happened. So here's the question I got. Do you think Columbia University should censor Dr. Oz? Maybe not fire him, but control what he promotes? That's a good question. My gut answer is no. I mean, if... I think Dr. Oz just has to self-censor a little bit more. I know that I have to do this myself. I have to be careful about ever being too definitive about anything I say. I always try to avoid sensational words, emotionally charged words. I do my best just to present the research, the findings, and my opinion without overdoing it. And I do that myself. I don't need life extension. I don't need, you know, UT Southwestern, where I came from, where I went to medical school, doing that for me. I take that on myself. That's my responsibility. And I think that's a better way. And by the way, Dr. Oz has toned some of that down. And so I guess the answer is no. I don't think Columbia University should. I don't think we want to suppress any sort of free speech, but I do think there's responsibility with free speech. You know, just because we have in this country the blessing and right to speak what's on our mind, but there is responsibility with that. And I don't know, just because I can say something in a certain context, it might not be the best thing to say. And that's something as maturing adults we all have to understand and kind of censor ourselves a little bit. And so, no, I don't think Columbia... Yeah, so that's my answer, no. I think Columbia University should leave him right where he is. I think he should go on and do his show. And, you know, as a medical doctor and a scientist, I personally would like less sensational words and stuff like that. And that's just not Dr. Oz. That's the whole industry. Yeah. So, no, I don't think they should censor him or control any of that. I think he has the right to support the things he wants to support. I think there's a responsibility in how we present that information, however. Okay, so that wasn't so bad. Okay, I was a little worried about that one. I don't know why. All right, next question. I saw on CNN Health that people with cancer from low-income neighborhoods have worse outcomes. I saw this, too. I saw it on CNN. This actually got around. This story got some traction. It wasn't even just CNN Health. I saw it on Fox News Health. I think it was also on ABC, at least on the online sources I have. So this story got some traction. So let me go back to the question. I saw on CNN Health that people with cancer from low-income neighborhoods have worse outcomes. Other than access to care, why is this? Oh, boy. This is a harder question than the Dr. Oz one. Well, I think first of all, that's the key question, is access to healthcare, right? I mean, the best way to study this would be to take low-income people with cancer and high-income people with cancer and make access and the care they receive completely even, and then test outcomes at that point. Now, in the real world, we know that doesn't happen. There is access issues for people with no insurance or low level insurance. There's different types of care, quality, follow up. All of that plays a role, I think, in why some of the outcomes are worse in lower income people. It's not right. I'm going to tell you that right. It's not right, and it's not fair. I do believe we all have the right to have the same quality access to medicine, to the best medicines, both conventional and, you know, alternative. I think we to the best doctors. I mean, I think that's a basic human right. I mean, if we've made these advances that help us to live healthier, that help us to have better outcomes from all these diseases like cancer, heart disease, whatever, I think that's only fair and only right that we provide that to people. And I know it's not always easy, right? And I know that in the real world, it doesn't always translate that way. But why is it? So I think access is one reason. I think that's a big reason. I think, and I'm going to say this, and I want you to understand, I'm saying this with all sensitivity. Compliance and follow-up is an issue too. You know, I worked in a county hospital, and when you're working three or four jobs and you have kids to take care of and you're in a single home in many cases, it's tough. It's tough to stick with a medical regimen. It's a lot easier when you don't have all those other responsibilities. And I'm not saying higher income people don't have responsibility. I'm not saying that, but I saw this firsthand. You know, low-income families are working really hard. This idea that they're not, I don't know where that's coming from. No, low-income families are working hard. They're scraping by. And sometimes the head of that household neglects themselves a little bit and because they're working so much and they're trying to bring home the money and food and shelter, that sometimes follow-up and compliance to the medical regimen is not quite where it needs to be. So I think access is one thing. I think compliance and follow-up is another thing. And it's a shame. But that's the reality of it. And I saw that in the Dallas County hospital system. I mean, I don't know. I'd have to look. I think this is a great question for some epidemiologists, you know, who really study this kind of stuff. I'm just kind of giving you my opinion. But it's something that we need to do a better job and we need to correct. You know, if we have a certain population that is not doing well with any sort of disease, we have to ask why is that and how can we improve that? Because that's not fair. Okay, let me go on to my next question here. Those were tough questions. Dr. Oz, cancer questions, low income household. Those are tough. All right, let me see if I can. This one's a little bit easier. Should I take blood tests before I consider purchasing any supplements? Thanks, Tim. Blood tests form the basis of prevention. You know, if I know what's going on in your body in terms of inflammation, in terms of basic micronutrients, in terms of protein profiles, hormones, all that kind of stuff, it just gives me more information to help you. Now, there are certain blood tests you absolutely should take before you do a supplement, like hormones. If you want to do over-the-counter DHEA, I need to know what your DHEA level is, and I need to know what your other hormones look like, so I know where there's imbalances to make sure I'm not going to cause more imbalances. So hormones would be one group of supplements or prescription drugs that you definitely need to know your baseline, and then you got to follow up. But that's not necessarily the case. I mean, you can do CoQ10, fish oil, stuff like that without knowing what your baseline levels are on those nutrients. That's fine. But I would encourage you to get those blood tests done. You know, again, it just gives me a lot more information to personalize my suggestions for you. And I think that's really a key thing today, right? Personalized medicine. My whole book was about that. Personalized supplement regimens. The supplement pyramid. Yeah, so get the test done. I think that's important, Tim. This is Healthy Talk on Radio MD. I'm Dr. Mike. Stay well.